Hey, shalom, everyone. I'm Amir Tsarfati, and as you can see, I'm not from Connecting Galilee. I'm from somewhere on the western coast of the United States of America. And together with me on this Author's Corner is the one and only Steve Yon from Parker, Colorado. Shalom, Steve.
How are you doing, my friend? It's good to see you. Good to be with you for another Author's Corner.
Yes, it's always good to be with you and to look into the amazing work that God has given us to do in the realm of literature, the backstories and the behind the scenes of the books that we've been working on together. And today we are looking into Nir Tavor's second book in the Mossad series, and that is By Way of Deception, right after Operation Yoktan. This is the next one. But before we do that, Steve, you're also a pastor, but now you're the author. So, author Steve, please do us the honor and start with a prayer.
Lord, we are so thankful to be before you. We're so thankful for this partnership that you've created. We thank you for the opportunity to express your truth through the written word, sometimes in nonfiction, but also through fiction too, where we're able to still communicate your truth in fun and exciting ways. I pray that you bless our time today, and we know that as always in all things, we want you to be glorified because you are the center of all that we do. And we pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. By Way of Deception. What a title for this book, huh?
That was right from the Mossad motto, correct?
Correct. By way of deception, you shall wage a war. I know that in the English, it doesn't translate exactly the same, but this is the Hebrew one. Betachbulot ta'aseh lecha milchama. By ways of deception, you shall wage a war. And which is, it's the very motto that even Gideon had and others in the history of Israel in the Old Testament. And God is definitely into us deceiving the enemy and reaching the victory.
Yeah. Well, we put that right in the front of the book from Proverbs 24:6. But as I looked at that today, I saw our other two quotes, and I saw them. I thought, rarely have we had such perfect quotes for a book and just for the whole feel of the Mossad. One was from Yossi Cohen, who's a former head of the Mossad, and he said, "If the man constitutes a capability that endangers the citizens of Israel, he must stop existing." Which I thought was just a fabulous way of putting it. He must stop existing. And then the other one was from Meir Dagan, who was also a former head of the Mossad. "The dirtiest actions should be carried out by the most honest men." So the dirtiest actions by the most honest men. And I think that's what we have strived to do as we've communicated with Nair and team.
Yeah. A lot of people don't understand that one of the biggest problems of Israel now in the war is the fact that everybody's measuring us through the lens of war, the rules of engagement in a war of military and civilians and militaries and terror organizations. And what happens is our hands are tied behind our back because the enemy does not follow any of the rules. And the military of the state of Israel must follow the rules because the state of Israel is signed on such and such agreements. And so when we talk about dirty things done by honest men, we talk about the best possible way to do the right thing, not to be binding yourself into laws that the other side doesn't anyway abide to, and yet to do it in a way that nobody knows it's you, and to do it by people who are honest because they don't want you to kill them because you didn't want to do the right things in the eyes of the world in order to save yourself.
Yeah, if you're in a street fight and you're fighting for your life,
okay,
then all bets are off. You hit, you gouge, you punch, you kick anywhere, anyhow, whatever it takes to save your life and get that other person off of you. And that's the situation that Israel has been in since 1948, where they have constantly had people coming at them in this, like a street fight, and Israel has just had to fight for its life. And sometimes that means gouging, kicking, punching,
The only times we get sympathy from the world is when we are being butchered. But God forbid we rise up and punch back. Oh, no, that's not going to happen. So, I think it's Golda Meir that said, I prefer to be alive and hated than dead and loved.
Yeah, yeah. But the only thing worse, though, than Israel rising up and fighting back is Israel rising up and preemptively striking, which is what we saw with the 12-day war, and people are throwing up their hands saying, Israel wasn't attacked. Iran was just there minding its own business, trying to get nuclear weapons like everyone else has. And then suddenly in comes Israel and Israel strikes, and they don't see the big picture of why Israel had to, when someone comes to kill you, rise up and kill them first. That's just basic survival.
It is. It is the basic survival that America thanked us for 20 years after we destroyed a nuclear reactor in Iraq, and in 12 years after we destroyed the nuclear reactor in Syria. And people will thank us for what, but in this case, we allow the Americans to do to have the honor of destroying the nuclear sites. So you don't have to be thanked, or thank us for this. I mean, it's your job. But yes, Steve, we've passed that point of having to please and wanting to please anyone. We are at the mode of survival. And in that mode of survival, in this very crazy neighborhood, the rules of engagements are different. You must outsmart your enemy. You must think the way they think and act before they act. And that's why preemptive strike is preferred, because every time Israel was dragged to retaliate, it never ended up well. The enemy only fears you when you actually take the initiative to your hands and preemptively strike. That's when they fear you, because then you don't wait for them to do anything, and they don't know. Do you know? Are you going to do something? But when they're getting used to you only reacting, that allows them to always take the initiative and to choose when and how to attack.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of Iran was the focus of By Way of Deception. Remember, the first book was just kind of a general get the feel of what's taking place in the Middle East, and we talked a lot about the Gulf states, but then we started going through the big three of the upcoming Ezekiel war. And this one was Iran, out of the far north was Russia, sick man's rage was Turkey. But here we focused on Iran, but there was a danger that we were facing going into this book, and that was the dreaded sophomore slump. Now, the sophomore slump is just it's what happens so often when an author has a very successful first book, that second book comes along, and inevitably, no matter how much quality there is to the book, how good the story is, the sales aren't the same. The excitement isn't the same, and publishing companies watch the numbers just dive. So we were committed to not having a sophomore slump, but it was a challenge coming up with the right story that would focus on Iran. And that's when you came to me with this crazy idea. And when you came to me, I had no idea how this was ever going to fit into a book like this. But you talked to me about someone that you knew who was an artist. Right. And they did this art with cement. And can you talk about that at all?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that are writing me on social media and introduce themselves and share the story of their life and ask for prayers also for their loved ones. And in one case, it was this phenomenal artist that is basically doing a very interesting portraits and an art that is often something that is also bought and displayed on yachts and planes and place in big villas. It's very unique the way she does it. I was dumbfounded at it because it immediately gave me flashbacks to operations that I know that the Mossad did. And I asked her permission if she could come on the phone and talk to us, the two of us, and explain how she actually does the work and in what way that work later on can be taken and displayed on yachts and private jets and stuff like that. And right. I think she took us through that process of how she does it, what are the materials she's using, how she mixes them, how she is putting them on that canvas. And we had sparks in our eyes, both of us, you and me,
right,
when we realized that if that's something you and I can see potential in, how much more, someone right. else.
Because you tied that right into an operation exactly. that the Mossad carried out in a nuclear facility with, what was it, a desk?
In Natanz.
In Natanz.
Correct. In Natanz.
Right. The explosives were
Yeah, Israel managed to booby trap a desk that has been purchased by one of the scientists / commanders of that site. I mean, it was assembled and brought and brought down to the Natanz facility, and the Mossad planted some explosive there in that beautiful piece of furniture, which later on exploded months later. It's not even weeks or days, it's months. We waited for the right moment. And it caused great damage. The Iranians had to repair their nuclear sites so many times because of Israel. And this book, by way of deception, depicts another interesting attempt of Israel to maybe not eliminate the nuclear program, but to slow it down and to hinder its progress, and which was what we've been doing for the last 20 years.
Right. Well, since we're there, speaking of that, that's how this book opens, was that other operation, which, again, when you first told me about this operation, I remember thinking, there's no way that could have such easy access to nuclear secrets. But that's what happened, and the Mossad went in and got them. Can you tell about that operation?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that operation of stealing the Mossad's, stealing the Iranians' archives from the heart of Tehran. Yeah. It's one of the most daring Mossad operations ever. And by the way, in the last 12-day war, we visited again that warehouse and destroyed it completely. In other words, there are no more traces of the Iranian nuclear program as far as all the information that they stored, you know, outside of the sites themselves. So, you know, those deep, huge vaults that we broke into and managed to steal everything and smuggle it within hours outside of Iran's borders. And months later, copies of the most important things were on the desk of the president of the United States, Donald Trump at that time, the first term. And Netanyahu later on gave a very interesting press conference where he revealed to the world the documents and the CDs and DVDs that were filled with information of on the nuclear program of the Iranian regime, the Ahmad program of the Iranian regime for military way to reach a bomb. It's not for energy. It's not for civilian purposes. We found the real reason for all of that they're doing. And we proved it to the U.S. president, who was shocked because he always knew the Iranians are deceiving everyone, but now he got the truth. And it's all he needed in order to pull out of that JCPOA, something like that, which is basically an agreement that would have given Iran now in 2025 already a pathway to a bomb with a license from the international community. So basically, this book basically is giving us the needed information in order to understand the 12 days war that we just had gone through.
Yeah. Well, and because Iran was saying the whole time, no, not us. Not us. We don't want a weapon. This is all just for energy. They're still saying that. So the Mossad goes in to the place where they're storing all their records, just in the middle of a warehouse, lightly guarded in the middle of Tehran. Mossad takes all that, and then you see Netanyahu in front of the camera saying, oh yeah, well look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And all the evidence is right there. And you know, Iran standing there with their robes down, because it's all just bared right in front of them, right in front of them.
Not only that, every name of every scientist that took part of that program was on the list of Israel's recent attack, the 12 days war. All of them are gone. All of them that were mentioned in that. And that's not the only thing. The funny thing is, the Iranians prior to the 12 days war, I think, they said that they managed to break into Israel's nuclear archive and get Israel's secrets out. And apparently it was not the case, because they understood the magnitude of the embarrassment. And now they wanted to, so to speak, be shown as if they inflicted that embarrassment on our side. But come on, we're not going to keep our nuclear secrets in a little warehouse in the heart of Tel Aviv, that's for sure.
And I haven't seen Ayatollah Khamenei standing there with all the evidence there showing, well, this and this and this and this, the way the Netanyahu has, so shockingly. But there was one other operation, which was just I think that By Way of Deception has the most real operations of any of the books that we have. Right. And the one where Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, which I probably butchered his name again.
Fakhrizadeh.
So I know your favorite thing is to mock my pronunciations, which you do very well, and rightly so. But he was the father of the Iranian bomb. At least he was, until one day when he was driving with his wife back into Tehran. And so what happened there?
I don't want to spoil it to the reader, but I can only tell you this. AI is nothing new. Yeah. And And if you read this book, you understand that the Mossad has been using this technology already years ago. And the fact that we didn't need to have a single person on the ground to hold a gun and shoot in order to bring about the precise killing of the father of the nuclear program of Iran is phenomenal. And I don't want to elaborate on it because I want people to read the book. But what we described is almost one-to-one the actual events on the ground that took place. And so in light
of the 12th... When you say precision, you mean precision. I mean remarkable precision.
His wife would be next to him and nothing would happen to her and he would be dead. Yeah. That's precision. Yeah. Okay. And so my point is, in light of what happened in Iran recently, I encourage everyone to expand their understanding and knowledge of what was going on there before. Run and get this book. First of all, it's a thriller unlike anything else I've seen thus far when we wrote it. You'll read it within 2-3 days. You won't even put down the book. But the second thing is, I want you to remember, it is based entirely on real events, real Mossad operations that most people around the world are not even aware of. And those are operations that exposed Iran's true intention from day one to bring about the annihilation of Israel through a bomb that they are about to assemble. And none of their insisting to keep enrichment of uranium is related to their willing to have nuclear energy. The reason why they insist is because they cannot just buy the uranium they need for a bomb. So they must have it. They must do it. And they must do it under the guise of peaceful quest for nuclear energy. But you and I know that anything above 3.7% enriched uranium is already something that you don't need for energy. Right. And when you have tons of or lots of kilograms of 60% enriched uranium, the pathway to 90% is literally 4 or 5 days. Because people don't understand. I mean, when you have a lot of uranium and then you enrich it, you get smaller amount, but very, very concentrated. You take the 60%, let's say you have 40 kilo of 60%, you'll end up with 3 kilo of 90%. But it can be reached only if you have centrifuges. If you make them spin fast enough and long enough to make the 60% 90%. And that's why Israel needed to eliminate the enrichment facilities. And that's why Iran insists on having enrichment facilities. Because the only way for Iran to move from 60 to 90 is if Iran possesses enrichment capability. And and this is what Israel has been trying to do, is always hindering the enrichment process and of course, on the way, eliminating, as Yossi Cohen said, that person must not exist. So we take care of the process of moving from existing to non-existing.
Right. And all the while that Iran was continuing the enrichment, continuing that level, they had international support because the International Atomic Energy Association, the IAEA, kept saying, okay, 30% is fine. Okay, well, they only have this amount of 60%. Oh, and they kept upping the number, kept giving more permission when none of that's needed if all they're going to do is use nuclear energy for power. But they kept upping that higher and higher and higher. And meanwhile, Israel's looking and saying, no, 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 we know what's happening. And that's when it got to that level. What's that?
As I said, anyone who has eyes in his head knew what is happening, because you don't need uranium that is richer than 3.7% in order to have energy. Yes. That's it. Anything else? It's obvious that is not for energy. It is for something else. And there's only one something else. besides, you know, that. And that is, of course, a bomb. And, you know, it's one thing to enrich uranium, but we also found out that they're working on the other part, which is the option of creating a warhead with the right ingredients, the right things, and then later on put the enriched uranium in that metal ball that will be activated with the right detonation and all of that. So everything was there. Everybody knew. All the scientists were working on it. That was their goal. And this book is brilliant book, if you ask me, about the attempts of Israel to hinder that from happening. And, you know, the rest is history. All of us have been witnessing the end game.
Yeah. Well, I know we're running out of time here. I have one thing that I need to address with folks who have either read the book or are planning on reading the book. And I have never in any of the books that I've been a part of, have I had so much controversy as I've had with the timeline of the beginning of this book. And that's because in Operation Yoctan, Nicole LaRue becomes a Christian. And she's a young Christian. She's growing in her faith. And then suddenly people pick up by way of deception. Correct. And and Nicole is not a Christian. And she's struggling, and people are wondering, well, what happened? She was a Christian here, and now she's not a Christian. And let me just say once and for all here, the Yoctan, Operation Yoctan, ends on February 20th, 2020. By way of deception, begins on February 1st, 2018. So it backs up 2 years. And we really wrestled with how are we going to communicate this. In fact, when we first sent the manuscript to Harvest, it said on that very first page, 2 years earlier, and Harvest said, 2 years earlier than what? Which exactly made perfect sense. So we tried our best to communicate, dropped little hints throughout that this was before, but just so no one's confused anymore, when you start by way of deception, you're backing up the timeline 2 years from the end of Operation Yoctan and starting from there. And then after this first operation, it jumps ahead back to when she's a believer again.
Correct. And so, we do that in order to stay true to the actual real events that took place.
Exactly. We want to keep that timeline. Exactly. Well, I feel much better finally having that off my chest and explained that.
Yes, and I really want to encourage everyone now that you have been submerged with so much of Iran and probably you understand a bit more, go and get that book. And the reason why I say that is because it's not just another book, which is an amazing thriller, but our books strive to also bring you closer to the Lord, and you and the way our protagonists are also having that journey of faith is also a journey of faith that many of us can identify with personally. So you get twofold. On one hand, you get a great thriller. On the other hand, you see also an amazing description of maybe something you yourself are going through. And the book is also packed with spiritual nuggets that will help your walk with the Lord as well.
Yeah. Biblical truth throughout, and the gospel is always clearly presented at some point in the book.
Exactly. Well, Steve, that was great. Thank you for joining me again for Author's Corner. This time we touched Nir Tabor's second book, one of the amazing ones of our four a book series of Nir Tabor Mossad thrillers. And I recommend everyone, if you haven't gotten the first one, do that, Operation Yoctan. But By Way of Deception is our number two, and it was amazing. And I'm telling you guys, now, after all that had happened in Iran, you want to go back and read it, and you'll have a much better understanding of why the 12 days war started to begin with. All right.
Yes.
So it'll really empower you and enlarge and expand your understanding of the Middle East and of the Bible. All right. Thank you, Steve, for joining me. Thank you all for watching Author's Corner. God bless you and shalom.